Okay, hey guys. I believe I'm live on YouTube and Rumble. Let's see here. Let's see if I get a notification from YouTube. Just bear with me. Bear with me, folks. Okay, here we are. Okay. So let's do this. Let's click. This is kind of weird. I'm going to hear myself. Copy. Hey, come on in. Hello, hello. Okay, I'm going to share this now on Facebook. Live now on YouTube and Rumble. So just bear with me, guys. I'm sorry, but Facebook's making it really hard. They have taken away, well, I'll tell you guys. So, I'm going to let me see if I'm live. I'm so sorry. This is just so, like, it's like, okay, we don't want to see all this. Like, you're annoying. Okay, here we are. Let's see. Let's share the Rumble version. Who's on Rumble? Anybody on Rumble? Let's share Rumble over YouTube, shall we? Let's just do it. Let's just do it because we can. Yeah, they're making it really hard. They're making it hard for me. Okay, so let's give it a second. I'm uploading it there. Okay, let's see who's here. Who's here? Okay, we've got a few people on YouTube. How's it going, guys? The election cycle had massive fraud because F you, what are you going to talk about? The Democrats, that's true. Okay. Hi from New Jersey. Nathan's a little upset. It's okay, Nathan. It's okay. Not seeing you on Rumble. Okay. I just did it. So hopefully you do. Gosh, what do I do? Should I just share the other link too? I don't know. I need someone to handle this for me because I like to create videos, right? I like to do satire. I'm not the techie. I'm not the techie that I'm supposed to be. So let's see here. I don't know. But what we will do, let me see. See, it's not even showing me on. Okay, I'm going to upload, even though I'm not as big a fan of YouTube. Although I love you people, just not the people that own YouTube necessarily. Let's do that. Save. Okay. I'd like to grow my Rumble channel just because I think I'm allowed to speak more freely there. Okay, let's start. Let's just dive in here. There's a lot to discuss. I halfway through the night, I'm like, oh man, this is not what I was hoping for. And I, you know, they say, you know, it's going to be a red wave, everything like that. And there was a red wave in Florida. There was a red, massive red wave in Florida. I mean, what did DeSantis win by? Like almost 20%. Like he took leftist counties. The guy swept Florida. And it was a referendum on all of the COVID policies that the rest of the United States had enforced. It was for parental rights. It was they loved what DeSantis did with the state. I remember when I was down there in the midst of the pandemic, and I was just talking to just everyday people driving around in, you know, not cabs. What do you call them? I keep forgetting the name. You know, taking an Uber or whatever. And you talk to these people and they love DeSantis. And these are people that had previously not been Republican. They previously not supported conservatives. And they're just your hardworking middle of the road, average American that just loves freedom. And they were so thankful that he kept the state open. And I was like, man, these people really love this governor. And it showed last night. It showed in a massive, massive victorious win. But I do want to point out that Florida secured their elections, like he signed into law requiring that all voter rolls be removed annually, created a whole office on security, strengthened ID requirements, prohibited election supervisors who were taking money from Zuckerberg. He increased penalty for ballot harvesting from just a misdemeanor to a felony. Like he cracked down to ensure that the elections were secure and that people could trust the vote. And I find it interesting that that's the state that did it. And you see this massive red wave. You did not see that throughout the rest of the United States. And so you got to step back and you got to ask, you got to at least acknowledge that, right? So I'm going to acknowledge that. I'm going to acknowledge that Florida secured their election process and they had a massive red wave. The rest of the United States, not so much. I mean, look at Maricopa County right now. It's a hot mess. I think Carrie Lake will pull it off. Blake Masters looks like he's in trouble. And they did nothing. Like Maricopa, it's the same. It's like 2020 all over again. So here we are. We did have Ron Johnson just came in that he did take Wisconsin Senate, which is excellent news. It looks like there's going to be a runoff between Herschel Walker and Warnock December 6th. They're neck and neck and you have to get 50% to take it. Almost every incumbent won throughout the United States, like almost. And I'm in Colorado, and Colorado is blue, guys. And I know I'm gonna upset some people, but it's a blue, and I don't believe the massive fraud took place here. I say that because I lived in California, and the vibe is like the same. You look at your electorate. We have a strong conservative base. We have strong hardcore lefties in Colorado. It's the independents that take the vote. And I know people are going to be upset. No, you know, and that's the way I see it. Okay. So this is my perspective on what happened in Colorado. Colorado is blue. The only way to win Colorado, the only way to take Colorado is to take the independent voter, right? Who is the independent voter? And this might be for your state too. Independent voter in Colorado is a, you do you, I'll do me. I want to drink craft beer. I want to get high here and there, not all the time because I'm a working person. I believe in fiscal responsibility and I want to hit the slopes on the weekends. Okay. That's your independent voter. How do you reach them? That's the great unknown. The GOP here in Colorado has failed, massively failed on reaching that independent voter. The independent voter decides which way it goes. The conservative base, the grassroots base, the hardcore Republican base, whatever you want to call them, they have failed over and over again to acknowledge the independent voter. Does that mean you put forth a moderate? No, I'm not saying that. Joe O'Dea got crushed, okay? He got crushed by Bennett, and I think that Joe O'Dea turned off a huge MAGA base, right? There are some MAGA Republicans left in Colorado, hardcore Trump supporters, and O'Dea turned off that base. Would he have won with them? I don't think so. I think the complacent independent voter is still asleep here in Colorado. I believe that they're in a coma, and I don't know how you wake them up. And that's what I'm looking into, because I'm extremely curious. I study people. That's what I do. I want to know what motivates people. I want to know why people do what they do. I want to know why they vote the way they vote. I want to know why people think the way they think. So I'm going to be continue to pressing in to understand this independent block here in Colorado and what would actually wake them up, right? That's what we need to solve. It's a sad state, right? I mean, it's a sad state of affairs. I moved to Colorado when I was a kid, and the state was a red state. We had a red governor, and we've gone to a purple, and now we're a blue. And maybe it has to get Oregon here. Like maybe it has to go full blown Oregon before people wake up. I don't know what it's going to take to wake up that complacent voter. I don't know. But it is what it is. Abortion. Abortion is what, when you start to study what turned people out, they turned out for abortion. that's heartbreaking to me. And I don't want this to be a whole downer of a broadcast, because it's not going to be, because I do end on a positive note here, because I have been praying about it. I have been thinking about it. But abortion is what turned out people, the ability to take the life of the unborn in the womb. That's what moved Americans. That's what moved Americans to go out and vote. And that to me, that just says where we are as a nation, right? That just says where we are as a nation. And I honestly don't believe that any policy can change the heart of someone that votes for abortion. I don't think that anything a politician can do or government can do can change the heart of those that say yes. Science says that a baby in the womb is a living human being. It's a human being. It's alive. It has a beating heart. It's separate from the mother. It has its own brain, body parts. It's a human. What is abortion? If for the trolls on here, like, if what is abortion? If it's not that, it is taking the life of a small human being that should be entitled to life. What changes that? Like, what causes somebody to say, yes, it's okay to take that life? It's okay. That's a heart issue, right? That's not that no policy is going to change that. I believe it's a heart issue. So then it comes back to my faith and where we are as a nation, where we are as a world right now. And I'm going to dig into that in a minute. I did have coffee, and maybe she's watching, with a friend this morning, and she had a positive take on all of this, which was interesting to me. And I didn't see it this way until I spoke to her. But she said, you know what? I do wonder if we would have swept, if it would have been a giant wave in this midterm election, would we have had the time to turn it around, to then make the American people see that Republicans, conservatives at the helm can make it better before 2024. And I don't think we would. I don't honestly, when you think of it that way, I don't think we would have. With Biden as president right now and a toss up in the Senate, I don't think a red wave in 2022 would have. Let's say we just clean sweep it. I don't think we would have been able to make a turnaround. I mean, what the left and Biden has done to our nation over the course of 2 years is going to take about 8 years to 10 years to recover, right? Housing value, your housing value, it's not going to recover overnight. It's not going to recover in the next 2 years. The stock market, it's not going to recover in the next 2 years. Inflation, we're entering like a stagflation, a recession. It's bad, and it's not going to be able, we're not going to be able to turn it around, in 2 years to make, you know, the rest of middle America independent, to be like, wow, Republicans did an incredible job. We should vote for them in 2024. Right. So that's a positive way to look at it. Maybe it has to get worse. And I know it's a terror. People are like, how can it get any worse? Rachel, like, it's really bad. I think it can get worse. I think it can get worse, and it's going to get worse. I mean, as I was driving my kids to school this morning, just homelessness, like, we're driving by homelessness, and I'm looking and I'm thinking, Coloradans voted for this. They voted for more of this, and they're going to see more of this. You go downtown Denver, feces on the street, crime, people shooting up, drugs. They voted for more of this. So you can have it. You can have it. Just sometimes you got to give what people beg for what they want, right? And maybe we just drive ourselves into the ground as a nation. I mean, maybe that's the route we go, right? Or it gets so bad, and by the time we hit 2024, it's like, oh my gosh, this is, now it's time for a red wave. I mean, I don't know. And I can't tell you which way it's going to go. But I can tell you this, and I'm not going to take up a whole lot of time, but, when I was, you know, my kids went to bed last night. My husband went upstairs and I'm just sitting there and I'm like, what happened tonight? Like, what happened? Was it massive, you know, election fraud? I don't see it that way. Maybe in certain pockets, yes, I'd take a deeper dive into Arizona, Maricopa. But I believe what we saw is the heart of the nation, especially with people turning out for abortion. And that says to me that we are in a darker place than I had hoped. And sometimes, like, and this, it's weird. This scripture came to me today, last night, actually. And it's in Daniel 7. And Daniel, if you remember the prophet Daniel, he is having like this incredible vision of what's going down at the very end of the world. And he's seeing all of it. And I can't imagine to have God give you that glimpse. But he's seeing it all go down. And he does see a global order, right? He sees countries unifying to raise up a ruler and a global unification that takes place. And now, had you said that to me, like, that's impossible. Like, if you would have told me that, you know, 15, 10, 5 years ago before COVID, I would have been like, okay, that would not, like, that's, you know, thousands of years from now. Okay. But I can see it. I can start to see it. And I don't know how long that takes, but I did find it very fascinating that when you start to dive into this, especially in chapter 7, that most of the countries line up, most of the countries unify and join forces, and it's like a globalization takes place, right? With that, you know, currency, with that a mark that you have to take, or else you're persecuted. All of this takes place in Daniel 7. And it talks about all of these nations unifying, but then there's a select amount, right here. It says the six out of the 10 unify. So you have six out of 10 that unify and they submit to this global order. But God at the time, puts into the hearts of all 10 to agree to the power of the one that wants to rule. So God actually changes the heart of those that pushed away and said, no, we're not going to join this global order. Like, what are you, crazy? We're not doing that. It was in their heart to revolt, to be patriots, to fight it. But God actually changes the hearts of these rulers and then they join. And I found it really significant because I'm like, I do believe that we're living in a time where hearts are being changed. Not so much because they're evil, and there is evil, and there is a lot of evil, but hearts are being changed so that what God has spoken can come to pass. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, And it looks messed up because you're like, well, this is bad. Like, I don't want this. This is horrible. But I do feel like I am like screaming and people can't see it. Their hearts have been hardened, right? Rulers across the world, in nations, you know, we can, you know, name names if we need to. Their hearts have been hardened, right? You're seeing a heart of a nation that's been hardened because, I mean, they're supporting taking the life of an innocent human being, it's a painful thing to take that baby. That baby feels pain and their hearts have been hardened. So it's just do it. Their hearts are hard. I think of the people when they hung Jesus on the cross. I mean, they were screaming, crucify him. And just days before they were worshiping him and praising him, their hearts had become hardened. So I feel like we're in the midst of a hardened heart that's taking place here. And it's not necessarily evil doing it. Sometimes God is involved so that what he spoke, because what God speaks, what he says has to come to pass. He's not a man that he should lie. So what he speaks happens. Now, it might happen today, it might happen tomorrow, but it could happen 1,000 years from now, in like Daniel's case, or 2,000 years from now. But what he has spoken will come into fruition. So what I see happening is a hardening of the heart. And so you think, okay, Rachel, like, okay, what do we do with that? Like, so we just throw our hands in the air? Like, what are you saying? And I come back to you occupy till he comes. I come back to, no, you don't throw your hands up in the air, because God has commanded us to occupy until he comes. So regardless of what has been spoken and what will be, we are to occupy. We are to continue to advance until he comes. That means you declare war on evil, and you make the devil freak out every single time you get out of your bed in the morning. That's your job, okay? That's your job. And you have influence over a territory. You have influence over your home. You have influence over your community. You have influence over what happens in your kid's school. You have influence over what happens in your local government. You have influence. And you are to occupy until he comes. At the same time, I think it's very important as Christians to be extremely sensitive to the times that we're living in. You got to be sensitive. And that's being spirit led. And you know, Paul says, pray without ceasing. That's literally just being led by the Holy Spirit throughout your day, because God is going to use you wherever you're at in these times throughout your day. And he will put you at the right place at the right time so that you continue to occupy. And when I was talking to my friend this morning, she's like, well, I'm just concerned, you know, I'm concerned about my child. Like, you know, it's ugly out there, and it looks like it's getting darker. But I mean, even Jesus in Matthew talks about it's going to get darker. Like, it's not going to get lighter, but as it gets darker, the light and love of Jesus shines brighter. So you shine brighter because you have the light and love of Jesus inside of you, right? And you have not just that, but you have authority. You've been given authority, just the same authority that Jesus walked in. Okay. So we are called for this time. And I told her, we're called for this time. When God formed my kids inside my womb, he knew them before he formed them, right? And he knew, okay, they're going to be on the planet when Biden occupies the White House. Okay. They're going to be on the planet when the nation says, we want abortion, and they chant it with all their might. My kids are going to be on the planet through the ups and the downs, through what happens with Ukraine. I don't think that stuff's over. I think that's going to escalate. I think you're going to see some stuff starting to happen in the Middle East. I really do. And God knew it, right? Because he's outside of time, and what he has spoken will come to be. So, well, that's just what I want to share with you. Like, regardless of how you're feeling this morning, regardless of how you're feeling, because you have to set aside your feelings, really. Know that God is still on the throne, right? And the train of his robe fills the temple. And the cherubim and the seraphim are worshiping him right now as he sits there, right? And Jesus is at his right hand saying, is it time? Do I go? What are you thinking? And the elders are casting their crowns before him and saying, holy, holy, holy. I mean, God is present in all of this. He is not absent. I wouldn't say like, well, we prayed, you know. I mean, I prayed so hard over 2020, you guys. Like, I was having like meetings like weekly with women, and we were like interceding for hours. So it's not like, but what I do believe though is what God has said will be. Right? That doesn't mean you don't pray. That doesn't mean you don't get involved. You do occupy. You do take ground. And you do acknowledge the time that we're in. And I wouldn't say this. I wouldn't have said this if it would have been a red wave, because I would have said, okay, abortion didn't turn people out. Like, they were more concerned about the economy, about crime, about giving billions to Ukraine. They're more concerned about that, but it was abortion. So that means that we're looking at a heart issue. And if we're looking at a heart issue, then I believe that God is much more involved in this season than we even know. And I believe we're going to see more start to escalate. And I do believe we're entering into some very interesting times. But God is good. He is good all the time, right? And every single thing, I mean, we live in a fallen world, you guys. We live in a fallen world. And when we are set, we were separated when Adam sinned, right? That caused this massive separation between God and man. And we chose sin as a world, and that separated us from the Father. And every time you see something good, it's God, because God is good, and every good and perfect gift comes from him. And the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So when you see things stolen, when you de see destruction, when you see deception, it's not of God. But when you see goodness, you go through your day and you're like, I didn't get in a car accident today. That's good. My kids are healthy and whole. That's good. I've got a roof over my head. That's good. That is God piercing through into this dark world to touch you. Because he is good. He is so good. And he will never leave us. He'll never forsake us. That is his promise. And he cannot lie. So with that, I just want to say occupy. Occupy, lick your wounds if you need to. I do think we had some good wins. I think that we will end up taking the house. Thank God. I hope that we do. Senate, we'll see. But we're in some interesting times, right? But we're called for this time. You pick yourself up. You say, you know what? God, you put me on this earth. You put me on this planet for this season. And I'm asking you to show me what you want me to do. I'm asking you to show me how to occupy in these times we're living in. I'm asking you to show me how to influence in these times we're living in. And he will answer. He will answer. Because the harvest is ready, right? The harvest is ready. I mean, people want the truth. People do want the truth. They're hungry for the truth. The right people are hungry for the truth, I believe. And not everyone's heart has been hardened. And so you are to be a light in this dark world. So, God bless you guys. Keep praying for our country. Keep praying for our nation. God is good. He is so good. And He has a plan. His ways are higher than our ways, right? I mean, it's just so much. We're talking about the creator of the universe. What He's spoken is still going forth into time. And He is sovereign, right? And He is righteous and He is just. And every knee will bow at some point, right? So everybody that thinks they're getting away with cheating or shenanigans or crime or whatever, they have their moment before God. And if I was involved in stuff like that, I'd be scared. But we all get our moment before him. So, all right, you guys. God bless you and love your family. Influence those around you. Take back what has been stolen around you and move forward to take and hold. That's what you're called to do. All right. God bless you guys.